chapter 13 we're looking at right now. And he starts off by telling us, let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. And then remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. And that's the verse we're looking at today, is that we are to remember the prisoners as if we are chained with them. Why? Because it's as if we ourselves are in the body, and it's as if we are in prison with them. So therefore, we need to remember them. We're going to break that out and see what that's all about. But once again, he is reminding them to do something that they already were doing. And we need to be reminded to continue to do the things oftentimes that we were already doing or had recently done. And we need to constantly be reminded because we are a forgetful people. In verse 34, he says in chapter 10, that you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. And so I really think that Paul wrote this. There's others who say for sure this is a Paul letter, but we aren't told. Paul doesn't say his own name in here. He mentions Timothy. But the other thing is that Paul, there wasn't a jail Paul didn't seem to like. Paul spent a lot of time in prison. And you have to understand that as a Roman citizen, a lot of time that Paul did spend in prison had some privileges with it. He could have visitors. He had a guard that guard. It was more like an arrest at home. He just couldn't travel. It's not like he loved being in prison, but he saw it as opening up certain possibilities, certain opportunities that he wouldn't have otherwise. He was presented before kings and rulers, magistrates and people of authority. He could preach the gospel to the prison guards and people in all different positions. And many of those guards got saved and their families got saved and churches were started. So Paul looked at it and said, God, if you want to use me in that way, go for it. And God did. God allowed Paul to spend a large majority of his time in prison, sharing and writing letters. It gave him time of focus while he was in prison. Now, why were these Christians imprisoned? Simply for the reason that they were followers of Jesus Christ. They follow Jesus, and therefore the world hates the light, and therefore they will persecute the light because they are living in darkness. You know, persecution was a result of the fall. We see the first persecution right in the first few chapters of Genesis. Did you know that? With Cain and Abel. Cain didn't just kill Abel because he was just jealous, had a little sibling rivalry. He wasn't just an annoying little brother. We are told in John, 1 John 3 by John the Apostle, that Cain killed Abel. Why? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. Therefore, Cain killed Abel because of righteousness. For righteousness' sake, he was murdered or martyred. He died because of his faith. And you look at it and we see Joseph as well. There's a lot of, it seems like a lot of persecution. There's a lot of throwing Christians around or believers around in general. You see, Joseph was thrown into a well. Moses was rejected by his own people who he was attempting to liberate. We see that Jeremiah was thrown into a cistern. Daniel was thrown into a lion's den. His three friends were thrown into a fiery furnace. We see that James was thrown from the temple. They like to throw around the Christians. They like to throw them. And James, his persecution, they threw him from the temple. And this is what James did. After they threw him from the temple, they began to throw rocks at him because he survived the fall. He survived a huge fall. And so they thought, we're going to finish him off. So they threw rocks at him to kill him. And while they were stoning him, you know what he said? He repeated the words of his brother, Jesus. Jesus wasn't only his savior, but also was, I guess, a half-brother. Jesus was his brother. He grew up with Jesus, so he repeated the words that Jesus spoke from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And so we see there an example that we can follow. Paul, for example, was stoned and whipped and beaten and cursed and falsely accused, and finally he was killed. And so no wonder Paul could so confidently state this. Paul said, for to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Paul experienced suffering as a Christian many, many times. Peter, he put it this way. He says, beloved, don't be surprised when you are persecuted, when you experience fiery trials. He says, this shouldn't come as a shock. He says, as if something strange was happening to you. I don't know why. It always reminds me of, you know, that Toy Story, strange things happening to me. You know, the toy is kind of like wondering, what's going on here? This isn't normal. And it seems like the theme of that movie is to kind of, you know, the toys, that recognition, hey, this is our lot in life. This is what's going to happen. It's a cycle. These things are going to happen. And don't consider this as a strange thing. And so Peter is coaching the Christians who are to come after him and saying, listen, this is the common thing that will happen to you. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, at some time in your life, if not for the majority of your life, you will face persecution, sometimes more intense than others, but persecution is normal. Paul told Timothy, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But what's the roots? Why is it that they love to throw Christians around so much? Why is it that the world loves to persecute Christians? And it is because Romans 8 tells us the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. The carnal fleshly mind cannot conceive or understand the light of the gospel. And therefore, when they look at it, because the carnal mind is in darkness and they have an intense light that they are presented with, they cannot take it. You know, I've given this illustration before in the past. I like doing this at Christmas time for our Advent service because the lights are all out, and taking my ultra bright flashlight and then shining it in people's eyes and asking them, how's that feel? And right away the hands go up. And the reason is when you're in the darkness and the light shines in your eyes, it's unbearable. And I tell you, when you're in the darkness of sin, and when your Christian living, you're following Jesus, shines a bright light in the lives of those who are in darkness, it is unbearable for them. And so that is the root of persecution. We see this when they were trying to get something against Daniel. Remember Daniel? They couldn't find anything for which to get him in trouble. They wanted to take him out of authority. Why? Because God had blessed him. Everything Daniel did was blessed. And therefore, the other leaders and other rulers of other jurisdictions, they thought, we got to get rid of this guy. This guy's taken away all our power, all our authority. Everything he does is blessed. And so they thought, how do we get rid of him? And they decided that we will not find any ground for accusation against him unless they found it in regard to his law, the law of God. In other words, the only way we can deal with Daniel is by persecuting him for his faith. And sure enough, they confronted him with his sin, or his breaking the law, which they made up, which was do not pray to anybody but the king. You know, even Jesus said, remember, he says, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If you as a follower of Jesus, you know, if you're serving him, if they persecuted him, he says, they're definitely going to persecute you. And so that should be something that we expect. You know, I always hate it when people drive behind me with their brights on at night a dark country road. Anybody else have problems with that, right? And so then you brake check them, and you're just kind of like, hey, you know, you just want to let them know. You give them the heads up. And I remember on one night on the way home from Sweets, I was doing a good, you know, good 85, 90. I've never been bothered by the police, you know, doing my 90. I'm going along good, but this guy is just tailing me, brights on, tailing me. And so I just thought, okay, you want to play? And so I started just slowing down. I went down to 80, then I dropped down to 70, then down to 60. By the time I got through Selkirk, on the other end of Selkirk, 40 kilometers an hour, and this guy would not pass me, just determined to have the brights on in my eyes. And I thought, you know what? I can do this. I can do this all night long. I just can't stand that. I flipped my mirror up. I turned my motorized mirrors out in either direction. And I thought, we're doing this. And I just drove 40 all the way home. If they don't catch the hint, I mean, that's up to... Does that sound vindictive? You know what? When I think of the world persecuting the church, and I think of James, what he said, they don't know what they're doing. They don't understand what they're experiencing. They look at it and they think, okay, these people, they're bigoted. And I understand it. Hate sounds, or truth sounds like hate to those who hate the truth. And therefore, if you let your views be known on certain things that the world has accepted and embraced, but that Christians, because of God's word, have to take a stand on and believe in, they're going to look at that light and they're going to say, they're hateful, they're bigoted. And they're going to look at Christians and they're going to hate you for the way that you're acting. And so I think that you know, part of persecution for Christians and going through it in a way in which you can give glory to God is just having that attitude of James and his brother Jesus, our Savior, which is to say, forgive them, God. They don't know what they're doing. And just have mercy and grace on those who persecute you. Remember in Hebrews 11, we had looked at the fact that he says others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they may obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. That means cut in half. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered around in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. Now, some of you may be thinking, we don't live in those days, right? We live in North America. We don't, this isn't happening in the world today. But we need to understand that at the very minimum, 10 Christians are killed every single day. Now, some carry it way farther, saying that 10 Christians are killed every minute. Now, I'm sure that the truth is somewhere in between, but we know that in the last century, more Christians have died than all the previous centuries combined. Do you understand that? That's how many Christians are dying for their faith today. 75% of the world today is opposed to Christianity. 75% of the countries are actively persecuting Christians. And so it's important for us to remember them. Now, why do we need to remember them? What is it? What will remembering them do? Of course, you know, one thing is that by remembering them, you'll be praying for them, caring for them. But also remembering them will give you boldness in your faith. Remembering those who are in prison and being persecuted will give you boldness in your faith. And you, look at what Paul says in Philippians 1:14. He says, and most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. He says, when they look at me and they see my chains and they see that I'm in prison for the gospel, they're actually emboldened to preach the word themselves. Now, how many of you look at that and think, shouldn't it do the opposite? Shouldn't me looking at somebody else and saying, okay, they're in jail for preaching the gospel, I'm going to tone it down a bit. But the crazy thing is that's not how the Spirit of God and the Word of God and this life that God has called us to live, that's not how it works. God has ordained it and worked it in such a way that when you remember those who are in chains, when you think about, when you meditate on their circumstances and remember that you are connected to them by the body of Jesus Christ, it emboldens you to be more bold about your faith and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit does that work. It doesn't make any sense to me because from a natural human standpoint, we should be, you know, life preservation kicks in. You know, they always talk about the flight or fight thing in the you know, they talk about, the evolutionists talk about your lizard brain. Well, I tell you, as Christians, we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. I guess we just don't have that lizard brain thing going on. We aren't preserving ourselves. Instead, we sacrifice ourselves. We give ourselves for the cause of the gospel. And when we see others suffering, it emboldens us. It gives us boldness. That's why Paul says in Philippians 1:27, he says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And then listen to this. He says, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. In other words, when you are being persecuted, when you are being pushed around for your faith, when you are being mocked and laughed at because you're a follower of Jesus and you act differently and you shine brightly, when that happens, he says, you don't have to be terrified by your adversaries. He says, in fact, that boldness shows you that you are a child of God. It's once again a reminder that you've been given the Spirit of God, that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And if anything, it is a reminder to them who are in darkness that their eternal judgment is in hell. And so this is what Paul is telling us. And therefore, suffering for righteousness, it also places us in the company of great people. You know, it gives you boldness because when you look around and see who else has suffered, you see people like Elijah who fled from Jezebel. You see that Isaiah was sawn in half. John the Baptist was beheaded. They crucified Jesus. They stoned Stephen. They killed 10 of the disciples. John the evangelist was exiled. And so Jesus tells us, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And he says, blessed are they when they are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things falsely against you. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And so it should embolden us. It should give us great boldness to preach the gospel, because we look around and we say, hey, we're good. We're in good company. If this happened to them and it's happening to us, then we are suffering as Jesus suffered and the prophets suffered, and therefore we must be shining the light of Jesus Christ. It's also greatly rewarded in heaven. James says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. We should be like Saul or Paul and Silas. Remember them in Acts 16? It says that they rejoiced because they had the opportunity to be persecuted for the gospel. They were whipped. They were put in bonds. Their feet were locked up. Their hands were locked up. The word rejoice meant they jumped up and down. I don't think they physically were doing that, but they were in the inside jumping up and down. We were rejoicing because they got to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. And so remembering those who have been persecuted, thinking about those who are in Iraq right now, in Mosul, where the Christians almost don't exist there anymore, probably don't exist. They've gone door to door and killed every single Christian. When we think of those who died there because of ISIS, because of their opposition to the gospel, when we think about those who are in North Korea, where they don't bow to the cult of the emperor, to the dictatorship, but instead preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we think about those who are in the true church in China, those who do choose not to go to the state-run churches, instead go to the underground churches, they say that 1/4 of the Christians in China right now are in labor camps and prisons. The true Christians, the ones who meet in the underground churches and truly worship God and truly read his word. The other thing that we see that remembering will do is it will give you compassion. It says in the second part of verse 3 that since you yourselves are in the body also, that can mean two things. One, that you're in the physical body, that you are going, that if you were to suffer in that way, you can understand them. But another thing is that we are in the body together. Because we're in this body together, when one part hurts, it all hurts. Have you ever hit your thumb? Have you ever done that before? With a hammer or pinched one of your digits? And then it starts to turn purple. And then it starts to turn red. And then it turns black. I remember going to youth group one night when I just smacked my thumb so hard. And I took 2 Tylenol and I drove to youth. I thought, I'm doing youth anyways. But I was so much in agony over this one little digit that I thought I was going to throw up. You ever have that kind of pain? I just thought, I can't do this. And so I said to Kaylee, okay, Kaylee, find me a paperclip. You know, one of those steel ones, not one of those plastic ones. And a steel paperclip. And I got out a lighter and we heated it up. She videoed it for me because I had a video to show that this actually works. And heated it up until it was just red hot. And then I pressed it up against that finger or that thumbnail. And suddenly it hit the bottom and it splurted and the blood was gone. Instant relief. But this is just one tiny little digit, and yet I was unable to function because of the pain that I was experiencing in my thumb. And when you think about Christians in other countries, when you think about Christians who are being persecuted, or even when you think about Christians in your own community who are getting marginalized and getting judged for standing up for their faith, what it does is it helps you to understand that there's parts of our body that are hurting. When one part hurts, when one part is affected, the whole body is affected. And so it's important to remember those who are in prison so that we can have compassion on them. Romans 5, Paul says in verse 3, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And so as we go through these tribulations, as we go through these persecutions, it gives us hope, and we can then extend that hope to others who are experiencing that in the body and be like Peter and Paul and say to other Christians, hey, you know, I was judged too and I experienced this, and we can have compassion on each other and share that hope that and that strength that we so desperately need when we go through those things. And finally, remembering will give you perspective. You know, as you remember those who are in prison, I think it'll give you perspective to make you realize that we are in a privileged part of history and living in a privileged part of the world. That what we have today was largely paid for in the blood of those who came here to establish it. You know, we hear a lot of bad stuff, you know, the world today, colonialism. And I get, you know, kind of what they're saying, you know, and I think that a lot of things that happened with Canada and the United States with taking away land and manipulating, all those things, I know those are bad things. But I tell you, the group that came here, many of those people were fleeing religious persecution. Many of them gave their blood, gave their lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many of them came to new lands with a missionary understanding to reach people with the saving message of Jesus Christ. And so when we look at why they arrived here and what the price that they paid for the freedoms that we have today, and when you look at many of the universities that are around today, did you know that the primary reason for those universities was to prepare people for the presentation of the gospel so they can better know the King of the universe? The education, that was the foundation of education. Without that, many of those schools wouldn't have existed. That many of the hospitals that you look around today and you see were founded because, as we talked about last week with hospitality, that is the root of hospitals, is an attitude of pulling people in and helping them and giving them assistance in their time of need, and specifically with hospitals, medical need. And when we look at what we have today and the privilege we have today and the fact that we have God's word, every one of you has multiple Bibles. We have Bibles on our apps. We have Bibles in our houses. We have Bibles, you know, all over the place. We think about people like William Tyndale, who gave their lives so you could have the word of God. When we celebrate a baptism Sunday and we dunk somebody in the water, we remember those who died for the ability to baptize by immersion. To baptize adults. That was something people died for because they believed so strongly that the word of God tells us to repent and to be baptized. And so when we think about those who suffer today, what it does for us is it gives us some perspective and makes us realize that we are living in a tiny little part of history, in a big portion of the world, in extreme privilege with freedoms that are unprecedented in history. And I tell you, the Christians, many of the Christians in China are praying for us that we could experience persecution too, because they see that we just take our liberty for granted and we are not using it to its full capacity. And instead, the church has become very at ease and many Christians don't bother sharing their faith. And it's crazy because the thing that spurs us on to share our faith oftentimes is persecution. Because it reminds us of the fact that the gospel is real and that we are in a battle. And so we need this perspective. So we need to meditate. So I encourage you, subscribe to Voice of the Martyrs. You know, they have a Canadian division where you can donate to and look at, you know, click on particularly the part where it talks about the prisoners and those who are in prison in other countries. And look at the days that these men were in prison. Many of the men preaching the gospel in prison for 5,000 days or more. You'll see countries you've never even heard of before. It's a little country I can't pronounce, located right beside Sudan on the coast of Africa, on the Horn of Africa. Had huge Italian influence. Beautiful country, but terrible country. A country in which many Christians are imprisoned. It's one of the worst countries in the world for how they treat Christians. And so thinking about them gives them us perspective, makes us realize we got to prepare. Amen? We got to prepare because we will not always be in this situation. You know, it could come very quickly where we will have our freedom taken away. I can see how easily it can happen. I can see it in the manipulation of media. You know, when I watch the news and I see the reality and then I see what's posted on media, I realize that this could happen in Canada. It's so easy for people to manipulate and cause. When I look at the Holocaust, it's just mind-boggling how people who were, you know, just people like us got brought along with such a crazy agenda by a psychopath leader. And so it makes me realize that as Christians, we need to be prepared for whatever comes. You know, one of the things I talk about way too much at Sweets. I mean, I can't talk about this enough. and that is memorizing scripture. Because I tell you, someday, and it could happen in your generation, it could happen in the next 10 years, or maybe God will give us the grace to not have this happen in the next 10 years, or maybe it'll be your children or your grandchildren that'll experience this, or maybe Jesus will return before. But maybe someday you'll be sitting in a prison cell. Preachers generally are the ones that get thrown in there first. John Bunyan, you know, other preachers, they get generally lead the way in this. Sitting in a prison cell and thinking, I sure wish I memorized more of God's word. Because you might look at it and say, well, I have the Bible on my app. I don't need to memorize it. I have so many Bibles, I can open them up whenever I want to. I tell you, there could become a day where you cannot open God's word. I tell you, Captain James Ray and his crew, when they served 7 years in Vietnam as POWs and in what they affectionately called Hanoi Hilton, they couldn't even talk to each other. But they found out they were Christians because they were tapping Morse code to each other. And you know what they began to do? They started tapping out scriptures. One of them would tap out the Lord's Prayer. And then the next one would tap out the scripture, Psalm 20, the 23rd Psalm. Another one would tap Morse code, Romans chapter 12. Back and forth, they would use Morse code, 1 Corinthians 13, many of the Psalms, Psalm 91, Psalms of comfort and strength. What happened is, as they were doing this over 7 years' time, all of them memorized every scripture every other one of them had memorized. What a gift. Imagine if one of them had memorized a whole book of the Bible. All of them would have taken that time to memorize that whole book of the Bible. And so I want to encourage you, but I also want to give you perspective that as you meditate on those who are in prison for the sake of the gospel, that you recognize that you live in an exceptional time, in an exceptional place, and that will not always be there for you. And so I want to encourage you that when persecution comes and as you meditate, you will be emboldened, you will be given boldness, you will be given compassion, and finally, that you will be preparing yourself and giving yourself that perspective that you need, that someday when that comes to your door, you will understand the blessing that there is in suffering for the cause of Christ.